Deborah Assis. And thank you, Rick. And she will be doing the introductions when we resume the open mic. But before that, we're going to have a mini set followed by two featured acts. And I did want to mention this thing right here. Okay, the way we're going to be able to reward our featured acts is by putting something in here, and the policy here is not to pass things around. So somehow, during the evening, at some point, gazelle-like come up here and plop something right in there and show how graceful you can be. So right now, and you can do it more than once, right now I'd like to welcome a woman that I met at our open mic when we were running at the Colonial Inn, who happens to be the mother of Dan Tappan. And it turns out that she's an accomplished poet, and she came up and did some things that night, and I asked her if she would do a mini set for us, and she kindly accepted. So I'd like you to give a big welcome to Beverly Tappan.
There is nothing like trading on your son's reputation, so. this is I come from Exeter, and I was walking along the river there, and I met an interesting woman. The seagulls cloud around her as she tosses the day-old bread. They swoop and dance and flutter, ringbills, gray and white-breasted, clustered around open water at the shore of the Arctic expanse of the seldom-frozen Swampscott. She tells me they know her well, crowd up when she appears. Friends with lively welcomes after her bakery days. She once had a dog companion. Now winged ones keep her company. I tell her I will bring bread the next time I come to the waters. Somebody asked me why I, somebody asked me why most weekends I drive up north from Exeter. And so I had to think about that, and I came up with this. Why do I spend my weekends in the Whites? I find some consolation in their heights to blunt the grief that haunts my lowland days, inspire me to set out on new essays. Those alabaster presidential peaks outshine a million cities' neon gleams. Shikara's guardian ridge and craggy brow look down benevolently on our town. Not far from here I loved and was well loved, and in these parts my ancestors once throve. Since childhood I have trekked these beckoning hills, something there is that calls me to them still. When I no longer reach the summit views, walks on these valley trails will also do. Recently, I found a couple people to snowshoe with up there, and this is a description of a hike we took around White Lake. And there was a dog with us. A flash of orange bounds across our snowshoes. Checker, the black and white Australian shepherd, wearing his lustrous "Hunters Don't Shoot Me" coat, checks up on us as we crunch along White Lake's shore. We watch him tree a saucy squirrel, not at all fazed by his leaps and sharp, impatient barks. Our eyes are drawn to jagged cavities drilled in the trunks of pines by woodpeckers after bugs. We hear a raven's hoarse, foreboding croak, and note the jumbled prints of skittering voles. Here, where the track accesses the shore, we take a shortcut over the lake. Checker says, "Hey," to an angler who's driven his truck and fish shack onto the ice, but reports no dice for a catch. Halfway around, we reach the beaches. Our poles break free of entangling brush whose name we can't recall. We learn the dog has a checkered past. Rejected by his siblings, he was the outcast, the runt about to be dispatched. But love has prevailed. He's now a lively, obedient rover. Nearing our cars, we are brought to a halt. A mountain bike with snow tires stops our forward momentum. We understand Checker's anxious barks. We feel these forest paths were meant to be trodden by feet. Out of the west, a wall of darkness dispatches the sun and a wintry wind assaults our backs. We are just in time to retreat to Rosie's for lunch, safe from the blast of a fast-moving polar vortex. Checker curls up for a nap in the back of the van. It is time for next week's outing to be planned. Some of these go back a ways, 20 years or more. And this one's about my, it's something, a winter poem about my childhood. When the northeast wind drops a snowy sail and drapes it over our backyard, and the halos of angel choristers glow all over the ebony bowl of heaven, I pull on my woolly snow pants and plant my boots in my father's tracks to help shovel out our garage. Above a furry muffler and below a knitted cap, my cheeks are slapped red as my Yorkshire cousins, who once dug paths to the barn. With a small spade, I cut cakes as square as ice cubes and fling them onto ramparts over my head. My father and I sing jingle bells. And another childhood memory, I lived on a hill called Pine Hill, and this is up and down Pine Hill. Face down on the flexible flyer, runners tuning up, a conveyor belt of tire-treaded snow trembling into motion, under watery eyes slitted by wind that singed my chin and nose. At the curve, I slid onto unresisting air and thumped breathless into the drifts of a neighbor's sunken garden. In spring, we wound on roller skates, turning butterfly keys till clamps tightened on shoe soles tenaciously as bulldogs. Then, head down and arms swinging, we herringboned up the sidewalk and shoosed down, knees bent, locomotive wheels clacking, hedges blurring past, decelerating at last to a leisurely standstill. Summers, we stood on bicycle pedals, weaving drunkenly uphill. Fall was leaves whispering underfoot as school bags slung over shoulders. We slugged through dank fungal fragrance while peach and violet sunsets silhouetted the limbs of maples and lindens. I still love scrambling and panting up precipitous trails or jogging on snowshoes down. Keeping an eye on Sarah. She's about to tell me when to quit. Some years ago, I went for the first time to ski up at Craftsbury Center in Vermont. And as I was skiing up a little Hosmer Lake, a group of deer came bounding across in front of me. Deer crossing the ice. Wood nymphs frisking on the frozen lake. I see them as I ski around the bend. They could be leading Pan a merry chase, curvetting to a fanfare of March wind. I yearn to join them on the silver stage with sunlit birch and cedar scenery. Lift and bend in an ecstasy of grace, dance to the pulse of the universal heartbeat. As David danced at the altar of the Lord, as wavelets dance on the bosom of the land, jeté on the wind, the bold leap forward, bow and retreat as birches learn to bend. Hooves and tails melt on a wooded isle. I blink to clear the water from my eyes. How are we doing? Still up and down? Well, here's some about my family. The first one refers to my youngest daughter. I have more to write about her, but I haven't put it together. So, from my car radio come the slow, sweet strains of Mozart's first horn concerto. And I am suddenly transported into that Victorian room where we made music, seated on the piano stool, hands on the black and white keys, my girl standing beside me, easing the smooth tones out of her French horn. And I am a swirl in waves of nostalgia, longing for that ample home, those five ripening minds, their patient dad. We did not know what signal bliss we shared. We hurried forward through a sacred time that my heart now cries out to live again. Our Sarah, there she is. On the night you were born, the snow had fallen all day, drifting, walling us into our house on the hill. And since we knew that you were on your way, we waited and prayed for the plow, which did not come. As dark approached, we thought to ride the toboggan, to meet with a cab on the road at the foot of the heights. Of course, the plow did finally come in time. But that is how I think of your arrival, a flight straight into our hearts over whispering white. And that is why I think you were the child to try a skateboard, parachute out of a plane, ride on your Yamaha into the White Mountains, run your half marathons and keep up with your fast-pedaling husband on mountain bikes and 100-mile road races, and why you still keep moving, living life on the fly. Now, Dan may not like this. Our Dan. I imagine him out in the pasture blowing snow to make a space for five shelter goats and one wool-coated sheep to move and browse outside their shed, and for impatient hens too long cooped up to strut and hunt and peck. His Kathy may be knitting that sheep's wool or weaving a shawl on one of her many looms. And when the spring produces brightly green asparagus shoots on all his roadside banks, Dan will be canning them for winter soups. He must have inherited Grandma Lily's genes. They have no taste for lawns. Flowering shrubs, rock gardens, raised beds, and berry bushes fill up their yard. They gather eggs. Sometimes an aging rooster transforms into a stew. This distinguished Cisco software engineer has retired early to learn to play guitar and sing his songs at friendly open mics. When he was young, Dan had an attic room in our three-story part Victorian home. And in the space next to his bedroom, he hosted cages and cages of guinea pigs, gerbils, and hamsters. True to his Tappan family Yorkshire heritage as shepherds and farmers, good stewards of the planet. He's probably hating me for this. Oh dear, am I out of time?
Yeah, two more minutes.
Two more minutes. Well, I went to Japan in November with my oldest son, and I said, I've got to write haiku if I'm in Japan. 17 syllables, no rhymes, three lines. So I'll read a few of those, and she can tell me when my time's up. Westward to Japan, we fly into tomorrow before today ends. And on the plane, I saw a petite and sad-eyed, when gifted with a toy car, she glows with wonder. A Japanese toddler. And also a Japanese father. The headphones he fits to his daughter's tiny head are like a blessing. And at one of the shrines we were at, we saw three old Japanese fellows. Three old Japanese comrade smile for our camera at the Buddhist shrine. Of course, we went for the trees. They were at the height of their color in November, and one of them is the ginkgo, which is a brilliant yellow, and it's also very old. Maidenhair fossil tree, you are said to be the cure for all life's ills. And along a river cut into volcanic rock, the night falls early. This was while riding a train. Bullet trains cut straight through and between mountainsides, gowned in fall colors. Is that it? Okay? Oh. Well, let's see. I don't know. All right, one last one. From the Zushi train, we see a glimpse of Fuji, clear but far away.
One more hand, please, for Beverly Tappan.